The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Coming from where? Oh, from inside our heads. No, and from in the outside world, too, and from the local Dearborn papers, the Dearborn Press and Guide, Times Herald, and, of course, Patch.com. Dearborn is a big help on our stories, too. My name is Jay Koronick, and I'm here with our WHFR News Director, Dennis Reimars. Welcome, Dennis.
Welcome. Hi. How are you?
Oh, we're fine today, I think. It's a beautiful day in Dearborn.
Dearborn.
And I always thought Dearborn might have been a negative way, you know, like a slur on the city. Then I heard Mayor O'Reilly use it the other day in a speech. So I guess Dearborn is not it's Dearborn, if you want to be technical about the spelling. But anyway, we're here in this lovely city, and we have a lovely guest with us, too. Oh, they're all lovely, aren't they?
And this one is especially
lovely. Well, we know her, and we love her. Diane Green, who is the associate dean, as they call them these days, of the counseling area, and that's actually the long title is more than you can get on your business card, because it's student outreach programs, and
we won't even try to pronounce all of that. Actually,
right.
It's the University Transfer and Academic Advising Center.
Can I interject real quickly? When you just came in and I introduced you to Joe, and I said the associate dean of counseling, you said
dean.
I said dean, and then you corrected me, but you also corrected me a little bit further and said, but not for much longer.
That's true.
Why?
Well, I've decided at this point in my career that I think I can be of greater benefit to our fine institution by rejoining the full-time counseling faculty.
Awesome.
In counseling.
Awesome.
And resuming roles, a role, should I say, that I had fulfilled for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So in my work as associate dean, yes, I continued to work with students, but not nearly in the number that I would have preferred. So I would like to think at this point in my career that I can be of greater benefit to the institution going back into the role of counselor and working and engaging students on a one-on-one basis and in a group setting. And
it is the problem of being an administrator, and that's what you have to do. I assume you're still doing some counseling, too.
Absolutely. No? I mean, I never stopped doing counseling.
But moving away from it, it actually hurts. I was a teacher for 40 years, and 10 of those years here at Henry Ford, I was also the department head of performing arts, which was theater, music, speech, and telecommunications, which they gave me no release time for. so I had to do both at the same time. But nonetheless, teaching is what I love. I love working with the students now in my retirement, my golden years here at WHFR, working with the staff and working one-on-one. And it is something you miss, and if you're especially good at it, as I know you are, because we've had many times when we had to call on the counseling department and yourself over the years from performing arts and also, in fact, I think you are our special liaison and problem solver in counseling for fine arts and performing arts there for a while. So thank you so much for being the administrator the last few years, I'm sure.
Well, you know, actually, it's more than a few years. The end of June, it would be 7 years. And
okay. And
understand, it was something that I always wanted to do, and it was just a perfect time to do it. My son was grown away from home on his own, and I thought, this is the opportunity. I've had a fabulous experience. I've had tremendous mentors among the associate deans and directors on campus. It's been a rich and rewarding experience, but it's time to step out.
Most of our academic areas of the college, the person representing that area is elected by the people of
and
the division.
And I was elected.
If you volunteered to be selected, of course, if you want to be nominated. And that, I think, gives the administration some real-world connections. Mm-hmm. The problem with being, especially an educational institution, sure, somebody has to manage it. Somebody has to do the classroom work, the instructional part. But they both have to understand each other a lot. And so
absolutely.
I think it's very good to rotate and to make these changes at times. But
My peers, I have to say this. My peers in counseling, assisted learning services, student outreach and support have been absolutely phenomenal in supporting me and my role. And we got a lot accomplished in the period of time I've been in the position. Ahmad Noori, who was hired in as our international counselor, will be assuming the reins of associate dean. So we're kind of just trading places. He, too, like myself, was elected by the division, and I'll be there to have his back and support him in whatever way is appropriate and necessary.
Well, I'm sure everything will go along swimmingly. I'm very proud of all the work that counseling, and for that matter, admissions does here. We have great student services both coming in and while you're here. And one of the special programs we're going to talk to you about today is a twist on, we've always loved to have you here and talking about a number of issues, but we wanted to let our listeners know and spread the word about the next non-traditional career offering. A free workshop is going to happen next Wednesday. Wednesday, March 23rd, my sign says.
Well, it's April 11th.
Uh-oh.
You got an oldie.
I got an oldie.
Okay. Here, take this.
That's right. You were scheduled in, I got it. Okay, April 11th.
Take my copy.
Yeah,
we
okay.
just jettisoned back
but,
a year.
But this is, as Jay, I think, was saying, is that this is something we do in the fall, but not they're separated by gender. And we have the non-traditional careers for women. And now it's the gentleman's turn.
And the reason it's separated is because we're focusing on occupational career areas that are unique and special to the gender. And this is a Perkins-funded event. And that's another reason we highlight those occupations that demonstrate a lower percentage of the gender that typically does not pursue that area. So nursing, for example, historically has been a profession that women have pursued. And nursing is a part of this particular event because we're trying to promote nursing as an area of study, area of career for men. Mm-hmm. And all of this is Perkins funded. So
and there's definitely needs in all these areas too. So
definitely,
it's not. And in fact, I hear, and I guess it's a compliment too. I hear from a lot of people when they hear about allied health careers and that the need is there. I don't want to go into that. I say why? Oh, it's too hard. You actually have to get down and do your studies well and learn a lot of stuff and put in a lot of hours just in the learning part. And, of course, I say Yes, but it's rewarding. It's saving lives. You should be studying hard when you have to save a life. I mean, it's really front lines. I mean, I think educators save lives too. Counselors save lives, but it's not quite as immediate an effect. So so appropriately so, some of these careers do require intensive study and concentration. You have to know some chemistry and math and
biology,
all of those subjects, which some people, oh, those are hard. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get those in high school, but yes, they are. They are a challenge. It is a challenging area, but there's actually jobs available and well-paying jobs. And by the way, the health care is not too bad either.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just a joke because you're already in the hospital, but yeah, sure. Of course, they have health insurance. They're working in the health industry, for Pete's sake.
Right.
And things are improving. People always hear about nurses and that. Maybe this is a question you'll get next. Well, do I have to work like 14 days straight to 12-hour days? That's changing. I mean,
schedules are changing now.
They
have very, very flexible schedules where an individual could work, you know, 3-day, 4-day shifts, mm-hmm. and then they're off the remainder of the week. So there's a lot of flexibility in terms of what work schedules individuals can ultimately move in. Now, mm-hmm. when you go in entry level, you know, you've got to sort of pay your dues until you have worked yourself
right.
to a point where
yeah.
you're
if it's in terms of seniority scheduling
Absolutely. And
also proving your skills, you probably have to take whatever's available. I remember the first 2 years here at Henry Ford, I had to teach an 8 a.m. English class.
I think you're ready
I'm
to
not
go
a
on
morning,
right? No.
Not a morning person, no.
Well, yeah, we had to drive up to Lansing and we met at 6:30 and it was my question, you brought up Perkins funded. Explain that. What does that mean?
Carl Perkins? No.
Yes, it's a part of the Carl Perkins grant program.
That's really the first name?
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
I made a joke because of the musician Carl Perkins Jr. was a famous.
Well, apparently his father was big into these things.
Yeah, he was. He was one of, along with Elvis Presley, one of the first people to do that rockabilly.
Wow.
Stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
But
well,
Carl Perkins
was instrumental.
Okay,
and
I think it's Carl with a K.
And moving this particular grant program forward. It's been in place for many years. We keep our fingers crossed because, you know, in more recent times, there's always, oh, it may not be there. But the funds are designed to underwrite programs primarily at community colleges, though there are a few four-year institutions that receive it, but it's primarily geared to community colleges to support students who are going into state-approved career and technical education programs. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to get people into those programs that are high-demand programs that pay well, and then upon completing a two-year degree, they're employable.
Okay.
So those funds are made available to institutions to provide all of the necessary and appropriate services to support students who go into those areas. Thus, this particular program, which really serves as an advertising PR recruiting tool.
Exactly.
To highlight the specific programs that gender-wise are available to men and gender-wise are available for our women students.
Okay.
Let's talk about the specifics. Again, this is next Wednesday here at Henry Ford Community College in our Health Careers Education Center, mm-hmm. right on the main campus. Room H150. I'm sure there'll be signs up to lead you there. And the registration continental breakfast is 8 a.m. and about 8:15 or so, you're going to do an introduction. Dr. Brenda Hildreth, who is coordinator of student outreach, is going to be there. And Chad Austin, who we've had on our shows many times because he's director of job placement, so he knows about how to get people after they get that education to get them into these jobs too. And then at 8:30, physical therapy and also medical assistant biller mm-hmm. jobs are going to be talked about. I'll just go down the list here. It's more than nursing. Respiratory therapy is going to be talked about by most of these people are in the career or representing the career.
Well, so most of the individuals are in fact lead faculty within the program.
Sure.
So they're talking about their own programs. But what's so wonderful is we also have student speakers. So for mm-hmm. nursing, we have a student speaker. Radiography, there's a student presenter. We will also have student students involved in the presentation for surgical tech, ophthalmic technician, and also for the pharmacy tech program.
Ophthalmic is something to do with eyes, right?
Of course,
did I get
yes.
that? Okay.
And these are individuals who are actually trained to assist an ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
Not an optometrist, but an
ophthalmologist.
Okay.
And I think participants, they want to hear from lead faculty. But I think what they get from other students who are actively engaged in the program or who have been successful in completing the program ends up being real rich for them because they're trying
to. Different perspective, sure.
Absolutely.
I like it.
You walked it. What did it feel like? There's a greater ability of me better understanding your walk than the faculty person talking about the program.
Are most of these programs two-year programs, certificate programs here at the college? Some of them I know there is four-year degree components, like the pharmacy technology. Now, I know to become a pharmacist at Wayne State, you can do at least 4 years, if not more.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
Most of the pharmacy programs now are generating a doctoral level.
Right. But this would be a place to start, too, if people are thinking of coming back, maybe at least getting these entry-level positions, for example, pharmacy tech, ophthalmic
technician,
surgery technology. These are ways, and I think you said this too the last time we talked about health careers too here, is that there's often lateral movement too once you get into the hospital organizations between programs.
Absolutely.
Or into management,
yes.
Or whatever too. So
yes.
it's definitely not a dead end or a single level job. Like even nursing, I know we talked about in the past, you've said, and it's certainly true, is that some people think, well, I got to be a nurse all my life. Well, you don't have to stay a nurse all your life. You know, there's obviously head nurses and people that manage the nursing staff.
There are
home
nursing.
Home healthcare, sure.
Yeah, but there are also nurses who decide they're going to go back to school, specialize in nurse practitioner. There are nurses who decide, oh, I think I want to become a physician's assistant. There have been nurses who've decided, I want to become a doctor. So I think for many people going into certain health careers, that initial step often serves as a springboard to moving to other areas within the profession. And we certainly see that, for example, with the pharmacy technology, it gives students an opportunity to step into the environment, put on the shoes of the work environment, see if it feels good, if it works for them, and then I have the time, the resources, and the interest to go to the next level. But we talk about all of that good stuff during the session.
And it is from starting about 8 o'clock in the morning with continental breakfast as well as registration.
That's what got my attention.
All the way to about 12:30.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
And free lunch.
And free lunch, too. Nobody can say there's no such thing. There is such a thing week. Non-traditional careers for men. Imagine the possibilities has always been their catchphrase. And I said, I was thinking about this morning. I've seen it before, but that's so important. It's one of those like affirmations that Dennis was talking about. If you could have it on your mirror in the morning when you get up, it's not like I'm a great person and I deserve everything.
Yeah.
No, but an affirmation, like a direction that every day, all the time, we should be imagining the possibilities, searching, researching, getting, you know, other people to validate things for us. And because there's so many possibilities out there, and counseling, of course, is doing a great job in terms of giving people those ideas. Let me say, well, one point is all ages.
All ages.
So these careers can be entered by people at any age as long as they're qualified, of course.
Absolutely.
I mean, as long as they pass the classes.
18 years or older.
Okay. And I'm sorry to say that some careers in broadcasting, you know, they look for the young people, the attractive people to be on air. You know, luckily this is radio, Dennis.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
I
have the looks of radio and the voice for print.
Not true
at all. But imagine the possibilities. It is next Wednesday, April 11th, from 8 in the morning to 12:30. You can get reservations. You can call Brenda. It's Dr. Brenda, at 313-845-9617. If you're listening to the show on the podcast, just rewind that last phone number. No, I'll say it again. 313-845-9617. The email, gee whiz. They can just go to the website, too. That is hfcc.edu. Click on counseling, or probably it's under events also. Special events, there's probably
it
a page.
It should be rolling at
this
point.
That talks about that.
Yes.
You can just call, find out the general number of counseling if you need more information.
And walk-ins are welcome.
Yes,
you
I wanted to mention
have to
that.
Have.
Right. They have enough food, so or if more people show up, they'll get more for lunch. Don't worry. I'm sure it's not, all-you-can-eat buffet, but still. This is a wonderful
the budget
program.
Budget isn't quite that.
It's great. Right. It's great. I mean, I went through a small high school in Flat Rock, and it was one of those schools in which the junior high and high school was all together. It was 7 through 12, because there weren't many of us down there in those days. And the counseling department there was much bigger and better per person than almost any school in Dearborn today. And for 5 years, 7th through 12th, I had counseling of careers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody did. Mm-hmm. You would have an individual counselor who would talk to you at least once a semester, give you books to read, things to study. 5 years of investigating careers. And in fact, it took me the 5 years looking at all the possibilities until I finally decided I want to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't considered that
was
before.
Was that non-traditional at the time? Were there more females in that role, would you say?
Teaching?
Yeah,
absolutely.
At that point.
Yeah, not necessarily so much at college, but in the elementary schools it was.
That would have been on this list.
And some of the most exciting teachers I had, besides the women, there was many, but were the men that got into the career. It was exciting for them too. But today it's about equal, but there's jobs are harder to find in most areas with all the cutbacks and that. So a very good idea for the future, at least for next week, for yourselves. Tell your friends and family about the non-traditional careers for men in Allied Health, which is going to be here at the HFCC main campus, Evergreen Road just south of Ford Road, next Wednesday, the 11th, from 8 in the morning to about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I guess, after lunch is done. Drop-ins are welcome. Okay, so it's a health careers building. And you'll see the signs, imagine the possibilities.
And great prizes.
All right.
Oh, my gosh, door prizes, too. I could use a new door, by the way.
No.
Yeah.
He'll be here all week, and the meal's great.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
7 years of service to the counseling department as their associate dean, too. It's always great talking to you, and be sure that Mr. Nuri comes over and sees us frequently, too, okay?
I sure will.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thanks for being with us. We'll
be back.
Happy
holiday.
Oh, absolutely. Easter's coming up, folks. Rebirth, renewal, all that thing, whether you're Christian or not, it's a very important time for family and I think reflection, too. Here's some comments for reflection from Jim Hightower.
In this time of the Great Hurt, with widespread unemployment, middle-class incomes tumbling, and the price of gasoline skyrocketing, I think we can all agree on the first thing that Washington needs to do: deregulate Wall Street. Yes, that Wall Street. The same priests of unmitigated arrogance that caused the crash that continues to rumble across our land. The same Wall Street we bailed out with trillions of public dollars. That Wall Street is now sulking and skulking around the U.S. Capitol, insisting that it is an economic victim, held back from its profiteering potential by government regulations to protect the public from finaglers and fraudsters. Free Wall Street is their cry. Clucking with sympathy, Congress's Tea Party Republicans have rushed to the side of these poor rich financiers, pledging to unshackle them from burdensome regulations. However, serving Wall Street is not all that popular, so the Repubs and their Democratic allies have committed their own fraud in order to pass a recent dereg bill, deceptively titled the JOBS Act, even though it doesn't actually create any jobs, pushing it in the name of small businesses, even though they quietly define small as $1 billion a year in sales. Alarmingly, the onerous regulations that they eliminate primarily are financial disclosure rules passed a decade ago to prevent another Enron scandal. The GOP House even tried to free financial hucksters from having to tell potential investors the names of the executives running the company and, get this, from providing a description of what the company does and its financial condition. This is Jim Hightower saying, the last thing our economy needs is an open invitation for a new crop of stock swindlers to defraud the public. But that's the first thing that Washington agreed to do. The JOBS Act is a disgrace.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Never ask a barber if he thinks you need a haircut. And never, ever ask national security officials if they think there should be more shortcuts around the Constitution's protections of our civil liberties. Whether you ask for more shortcuts or not, here they come. The Obamacans have just issued new guidelines for snooping by the government's sprawling counterterrorism complex. The old guidelines on how spy agencies collect, search, and store our private data are to be, quote, relaxed. What a gentle term. But you might not feel very relaxed about being caught up in their massive fishing expeditions. Lest you think that only the bad guys are being netted, the spooks are grabbing everything from driving records to credit card bills. Allowed to copy entire databases, they can merrily mine your and my personal information, even though there's no suspicion that we have any connection to terrorists. Even under the dark Bush-Cheney regime, data collected on innocent Americans had to be deleted from the central computer within 180 days. Under Obama's relaxed rules, however, Spy Central may hold data on innocent citizens for up to 5 years. That's not relaxed. It's positively loosey-goosey. Officials say that these shortcuts around our constitutional rights were prompted by the government's failure to nab the haplessly incompetent underwear bomber in 2009. But come on, how pathetic to rip our nation's privacy protections out of the Constitution over one goofball who couldn't even ignite his underwear and was captured not by spies, but by alert private citizens. This is Jim Hightower saying, tellingly, the new invasive guidelines were issued without allowing any advance comment from the public. For information and action, connect with the Electronic Privacy Information Center at www.epic.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is the new WHFR Journal on the station making waves, WHFR.FM. That's our website, too, you know, WHFR.FM. And this show, of course, can be listened to anytime, day or night, right after broadcast today, Friday at 2 p.m. It'll be one of our files that you can listen to. Just go to WHFR.FM, click on Talk Shows. Talk shows. And then, of course, we are the Journal. Click on the Journal button and choose the date of the show you want to listen to. We have shows that go back quite a ways. And in fact, I was going to mention the editorial in the Dearborn Press and Guide this week, editorial opinion from Representative George Durrani. Remember? He was here for a whole hour. Boy, did we go in depth with George. That was back March 16th. So 3/16/12, if you want to listen to the George Durrani extended interview here on the Journal. Very informative. I asked a bunch of I thought, in-depth questions anyway. Didn't pin them to the wall or anything, but a real chance to hear at extended length, you know, one of your most important local representatives in the state of to Lansing from Dearborn. Anyway, here's the big story I thought this week. Didn't get in the papers yet. Probably be in there. And boy, dearborn.patch.com. Put this out April 4th. This is Wednesday. And it is Dearborn advances towards sale of City Hall to ArtSpace. City Council of Dearborn approved a motion to allow the City of Dearborn to create a letter of intent to sell the building to ArtSpace developers. Now, here's the full story. And boy, I'm telling you, the responses to this story, the bloggers and so on who reach patch.com all the time, they're going crazy over this. I don't know how you're going to take this. The issue came up a couple weeks ago is that the last I heard, they were going to do a, they hired an engineering firm to do an assessment of how expensive it would be to renovate to bring back up to Dearborn Code,
right.
The city hall itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the parking structure apparently needs some help. Never heard about a result. Don't know if that was ever even completed.
Maybe this is the result. We'll sell it.
Well, who knows? Yeah. Okay. So here's the story. Dearborn city leaders took a big step toward the eventual sale of City Hall facilities Wednesday night in a special meeting. That's right. Special meeting. Nobody even probably knew about this unless you follow City of Dearborn websites. A special meeting they had, which means almost nobody from the community got a chance to go there and talk about this. City Council approved a motion that will allow the city to create a letter of intent to sell the historic property to art-based developer ArtSpace. The letter will identify ArtSpace, quote, exclusively as the party we're negotiating with. Okay, and that's a quote from Mayor Jack O'Reilly. ArtSpace, working in conjunction with the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, intends to turn the building into a live workspace for artists that could include performance areas, living space, and areas for artists to work on their crafts. Living space. Okay, they're going to build apartments inside City Hall for this too. Now, of course, this area, City Hall's already approved the idea, talked to ArtSpace before, that somewhere, more or less in East Dearborn, they should have this kind of thing for artists. And it would attract tourists and shoppers and all kinds of things. I didn't know about the living space. Boy, there's a Dearborn Code thing for you. Of course, there are bathrooms and so on, but I guess City Hall is going to have to change the residency zone or something for City Hall. ArtSpace expressed interest in the property as one of dozens of possible sites for the project. Wasn't the only one in Dearborn. Dozens of possible sites, folks. The intent to sell ArtSpace has been spearheaded by Mayor O'Reilly, who has been an outspoken proponent of the move. However, speeding up the process was a letter sent by ArtSpace to the city on March 30th, which indicates that they'd really like to buy City Hall. That's according to City Attorney Deborah Walling. Quote from Deborah Walling, they can't seek grant funding unless they have a commitment that the city is prepared to go forward, added O'Reilly. A letter of intent was supported by council members Shushanian, Abraham, Bazzi, and Sereni. Council President Tom Tefelsky opposed the motion. Dennis is grumbling here, but he didn't have his microphone up.
Yeah, really grumbling.
Sorry, Dennis.
Okay.
He said. Council members, that's right, I switched the mics around. You're on two. Okay, there you go. Okay. Council members Nancy Hubbard and Brian O'Donnell were not present. Special meetings can't get everybody there, but they had enough people to vote. By golly, unlike certain planning commissions that can't get people, even have a quorum.
We're not talking about the Goodwill building, are
you? No, we don't want to talk about that. Going back to this issue about selling City Hall, again, it's not a done deal, folks. Tefelsky said after the meeting that he felt that, quote, the timing isn't right for the sale. That's probably a politician's point of view. Timing's not right. Yeah. if the responses to this online are any indication, he'd better stay against it, I think. He doesn't believe that it's in the best interest of residents. The letter of intent would specify that the city is selling the building as is condition, given that it's in need of significant repairs to its roof and parking structure, as is. Somebody made a comment on the blog to this. An average citizen can't sell it as is, because then the people moving in would have to fix it up. Is ArtSpace going to fix it up? Are they going to follow exactly the same code and spend millions of dollars?
That's a great question.
They thought that, how can the city hall do this? I guess they can do anything they want to do if they just pass the rule. O'Reilly said, we've identified a lot of deficiencies. The purchaser would have to bring it up to code. Now, of course, that can happen in Dearborn if you buy a house here. If that's part of the sales agreement, that whatever is wrong with it, the purchaser takes on the cost. And I think they get like a year to do that. And then the inspector comes out and sees if you completed what was still required.
But that's negotiable in a regular sale. One party can say, no, you take care of it, and they put it in the contract. Sure.
Right. ArtSpace has indicated they'd like to preserve it as a historic building. I think historic buildings make exceptions to certain modernization.
That's the route I'd go, sure.
Yeah.
A little easier.
You don't need flush toilets necessarily.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Geez.
We're looking to rehabilitate
yourself.
But knock it down and rebuild. We're looking to rehabilitate it, not knock it down and rebuild it. Now, this director, a member of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, is Michael Bewick, who is, of course, a publisher. Not the editor. Scott is the editor, I think, his brother.
Well, they take one does editorial
turns.
Right. And it's Scott's the editor?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi. Yes, that's
what
I said.
That was Sandy Bolton.
I got that right. Yes, we're going to move to that. I've got a great segue
This should be good.
To our next guest, by the way. So anyway, this letter of intent to sell to only ArtSpace will expire in 180 days, 6 months, from the date it becomes effective. I assume it's effective now. And allow time for ArtSpace to apply for grants for the project. Aha. So if they get the money, ArtSpace agreed to pay market value. Sure, they agreed, because if they get a grant, that's the grant money they're going to get. And, of course, hopefully the grant money will be enough to pay for renovating the place, too.
Burton Katzman started that. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's a very typical way to do things. And, of course, what is the 180 days is really just an option without an obligation, right? In other words,
nobody else is going to be considered as a possible person to buy it, a purchaser, for 180 days. That's
right.
What it means. And that gives, of course, ArtSpace a reason to ask for the grant money, because they say, look, it's been reserved for us.
Right. A reason and the time.
But we need the money, or we can't take advantage of this. I don't know what market value is. Are they going to have to bring a consultant in for $20,000 to figure out market value, or they just bring a realtor from across the street?
I don't think it's just a realtor.
And it's an historic building, so doesn't that double the cost
There's
history?
Definitely
it
parameters.
Does in my neighborhood, thank goodness,
yeah.
in terms of resale, which is not hardly at all anything anymore. It was interesting the other day someone made a comment, in Detroit it's more expensive to buy a car than a house. So ownership and maintenance responsibility of City Hall Park is still up for negotiations. And, of course, the mayor wants to move everything at City Hall, all those offices, clerk's office, where you pay your bills and everything, to the ADP headquarters on Michigan Avenue. But, of course, that's going to cost money because they have to buy that building. But there's apparently some sort of fire sale. Was it a foreclosure or whatever? But anyway, they can get it for cheap if they do it quick. And that's on Michigan Avenue next to just west of the Dearborn Police Department.
So that'll be contingent on the sale of the City Hall. So in other words, another option for maybe another 180 days.
Now, again, O'Reilly was the one that favored moving to the ADP headquarters. And it's interesting, the article also points out that, hey, does that mean that Dearborn Public Schools somehow whoop-de-doo is going to move in too? Because the building, ADP building, is just too darn large for City Hall by itself.
It is.
And they were always complaining, City Hall wasn't even occupying the fourth floor for anything. They tried to put the Dearborn Council for Arts offices there, but they didn't fully fill the floor. They tried to put a gallery there, but when they opened the new center, they moved them appropriately in the gallery to the new facility. So is this going to be sort of a wedge to sort of force Dearborn Public Schools? And again, their administrative building needs tons of repair, and instead of doing that, who knows? So anyway, Michael Bewick made the comment here. He says, ArtSpace will bring new business and a revamped image to West Dearborn. Well, that's East Dearborn, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Michael, it's East. You're in charge of East Dearborn.
Yeah.
But he says people who come to City Hall right now don't shop in the neighborhood.
Okay.
They just come to pay a bill or, talk to somebody.
You have a doctor's office,
leave.
A building on one side.
Well, apparently sick people don't stay very long to shop either.
Pay my bill, I got to go home.
Got to get my drugs somewhere, my meds, but then I want to go home and rest. So, no, they're not going to cheerfully walk outside and start shopping unless they've been just instantly cured. They knew that when they put the medical center in. That wasn't going to help really businesses.
Maybe lunch businesses, right? I mean, that's about it.
If it's healthy food.
Sure.
if it's on their diets. See, they can't just go crazy on burgers.
My doctor's heavier than me and he smokes, so, it's not always.
And so Bozzi, who commented finally for this story in Patch.com, again, Patch.com, the Dearborn version, dearborn.patch.com has a story, and you can put comments up there too if you'd like to. I won't go into those, but it's really controversial, and everybody feels, how in the world did this sneak in? Special session, no final public forum or anything about this. I'm sure there will be in the future. I don't doubt it. We are talking here at WHFR in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from next Tuesday, to Mayor Jack B. O'Reilly Jr., 1 to 2 o'clock. Special edition of the journal, not on Friday, on Tuesday from 1 to 2, because the mayor had a lunch, scheduled. So, and that's fine.
The mayor has to eat.
We all have to eat and raise money and do good things for the city, of course, and that's all fine. But he's going to be a whole hour here. Can you imagine the questions I'm going to ask him? You'd like to send some questions to me, just use the easy station email, WHFR at HFCC.com. oreilly.edu and put in there questions for O'Reilly or attention J. My name's Jay, you know, and or to the journal guy or whatever, and I can
journal
already
dude.
Guess. I've got quite a list already for Mayor O'Reilly, including what's going on here and why is this just sort of is it just taking the opportunity for the moment? You know, like all of a sudden, ArtSpace says it's our first priority, and Mayor thinks, well, if somebody's going to buy it at market value, mm-hmm. including all the repairs, we'll have plenty of money to move into the ADP, I guess.
Sure, money left over, maybe.
He'll go into detail like he always does, mm-hmm. extensive detail on that, I'm sure. But he's being pretty harshly criticized. One person said, the story is 5 days late. It should have been on April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah, I love reading the comments almost as much.
Yeah. Unfortunately, now that I read these comments a lot, it's the same four or five people, and you can almost expect what they're going to say no matter what the issue is.
It's one person changing their name.
Yeah, but it's something to think about. It at least the historic nature of the building would be preserved, and maybe it will help business in East Dearborn, mm-hmm. not West Dearborn, as the story says.
So, well, maybe both.
Yeah,
right?
But thanks again to Jessica Carreras and the staff of DearbornPatch.com for staying on top of these things and getting that special meeting. But I'm sure we'll probably read about it if they had someone there in the Sunday edition of Press and Guide, at least. I mean, it's that hot a story.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll be there. So we have Sandra Bolton with us from the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Society. Welcome to the journals, Sandra.
Thank you so much, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
If the building was available and you could get a grant, would you move the animal shelter into City Hall?
As long as we could manage it. I think it's an awfully big facility.
Because they've got residential spaces for the artists. You need some residential space for the animals.
There
you go.
We have a visual. I'm not sure we could manage the repairs they might require, but love a new building.
Just another couple weeks ago, we did a story about Wyandotte, that there's an organization, maybe just one person in their house, but they have created a sort of a shelter area, because Wyandotte Animal Shelter, as I read the stories, don't to worry about your comment on this, but they're not doing so well. They got some really substandard facilities, and I'm not sure City Hall has got a new direction. So this small organization is setting up a house or two, and it's going to allow the animals to more or less roam pretty free. In other words, more naturally, not without, of course, all due care for the health issues involved with that and so on. And of course, I know the Dearborn Animal Shelter has been trying to get a new facility so they can have, as somebody facetiously said a few years ago, doggy condos, but they can have more, something better than a small little wire cage for these animals. It always just makes me, I'm very sensitive to these things, when if I go to the animal shelter in Dearborn, it's so well run and so well taken care of by the Friends group, a volunteer group, folks doing it for the city under contract for almost 30 years now?
It's at 15.
Oh, 15.
Yep.
Okay, well, great. And it's doing a wonderful job. But to see animals in cages in a small area, I know we hope it's just temporary, but it just breaks my heart. Because, even a domesticated animal would like to roam a little more freely. You're here to tell us about all the great activities and ways to get involved and information. I looked at your website today, which is dearbornanimals.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, folks, you can even just Google Dearborn Animal Shelter, and that'll come up and get you there. But always had a lot of fundraising activities, just like WHFR. We've got a big once-a-year pledge drive coming up in 2 weeks, and oh boy, we hope we can stay on the air if people give us money. College doesn't give us enough money, nowhere near, to cover, even with all volunteer staff. And a lot of people at the animal shelters volunteer, like probably yourself. Don't say that. If they're giving you $10, that's not paying you enough for what you're doing. But I was amazed with all the activities, and you've got a short list probably, and we can't go over too many now. But the new development for me when I got to the website, and I'm a monthly supporter. I give money. You just charge my charge card every month, and it's wonderful that I can help in that way at least, because coming in person, I just start crying and breaking up. I want to adopt every one of them. I want to adopt every one of them, and not that they're suffering, but I just want to give them homes, and I can't, but I can help with the maintenance cost anyway. But no, it's the educational facility on South Telegraph, the Dearborn Animal Training Center.
Yes.
Can you just briefly tell us what kind of classes and how frequently are there? I think it's a great idea. That's a fantastic idea for anybody that's thinking of getting a pet or even having a pet.
Sure.
Having a dog. There's some dog training, dog and owner training classes. Can you just tell us a little bit about that facility? When did that open? When did you start doing this?
I actually don't know how long it has been. It's been probably, that I know of, a couple years.
Really?
And
oh, okay.
What it is it's space that we refer to as the Friends Training Center. It's over on Telegraph Road, as Jay said, at Oxford. And it's space that is graciously given to us by Pet Supplies Plus to use.
Great.
So it's sort of the north end of their building. And what we do is we host all of our training inside that facility. We do lots of play dates for dogs, various size dogs that you can go online on our calendar of events and see the whole host of training that we do offer. And as you point out so very astutely, it's training for both the human and the animals, because we have to make sure that humans understand, just like a small toddler, you have to provide boundaries for your new pet family member or your existing one who's maybe forgotten them. and the most important thing is to be consistent with them. And if we kind of are loosey-goosey with what the rules are and we don't use the same commands and that sort of thing, they don't excel, and they can be disruptive in a home if you're not consistent with them. So we help with that.
The classes, and again, it's on the website, dearbornanimals.org, and the schedule there, and a couple times a month for many of them. Two of the class titles are Doggy 101 and Kitty 101.
Yes.
Are some of these, especially those sort of introductions to having a pet, could you bring a child, a young person, to these? It's not just for adults?
Yes, you can. They're, of course, with adult supervision, but some of them, like for instance, Kitty 101, it's an intro. I believe that class is actually a no-charge class, and it's, how to be a new responsible, pet parent, to incorporate a new cat or kitten into your home. And in that instance, the cats don't come, of course, to the training center.
Right, yeah.
Cats don't like to necessarily come and be, transported in a car everywhere. But and the same thing with dogs. There are certain introductory ones.
They're
in
not
the beginning.
Good at taking notes either.
Yeah, they don't. No. They don't write very
thumbs.
Well. The opposable thumb thing is always an issue for animals. But
that's what I feel bad for.
Yeah, they can raise their paw, but they can't write with it. But the whole concept really is it's important for various family members that are going to be involved in the training and working with the animal. It's a good idea for them to come together. And you do not have to have adopted an animal from the animal shelter in order to come to our training classes. They're open to the public.
Right, yeah.
They're very low cost. We, of course, try to do our best to subsidize them to make them as available as possible to everyone.
In terms of dog training, and boy, those dogs really need to be trained, let me tell you. No, I think it's good. Dogs are different than cats. Cats just sort of refuse training in general anyway, and that's their attitude. But you have something called Beginner Basic for owner and dog training.
That's
interesting. The first session is just for the owners, and then there's, I think, five more sessions where the owner and the dogs attend, and there's a small fee for that. But this is just great, and from the people that know folks, you can cover often in the past, I know you've always tried to counsel families before they get a pet, to talk to them, sit down, maybe spend even a half an hour talking about what kind of pet and what are the responsibilities. But I think this is a lot more useful. The input from maybe more than just one presenter, probably you have more than one person talking about different issues, and even some questions from the audience so people can see what other people are thinking too going on. So that it just a great idea. I didn't know it was even happening.
Yes.
I'm glad we were able to mention that. Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, this is their training classes for animals and owners, and it goes on several times a month. The schedule is pretty convenient, I thought. A lot of them are like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening for the benefit of the people at work or kids in school that they could attend to there. But, okay, so that's one issue out of the way. I just had two other things here that I saw that I hadn't heard of before. One I heard of before, and the other one is the big one, is coming in May. On the 14th, which is not too far from now, a week from tomorrow, right?
Yes.
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 Okay. Something called the Sports Pooch Paw-T-P-A-W-T-Y party, I assume, is the joke there.
Right. Tongue-in-cheek,
I'm sorry to say, I got this. Well, I didn't get it from the website. Of course, I don't quite understand what that's all about. You bring your dog to a party, but it's a sports-themed party, and then you play games with the dogs. And can you straighten this out for me?
These are these are fun play groups that are arranged, and they're what we call them. It's really for socialization. The whole idea is that some dogs do really well in playing with other dogs, and some do not. So
yeah,
it's a great way to help socialize your dog with other humans and with other animals, and it's in a supervised environment. So, of course, you start with the dogs on leash, and there's opportunity to kind of have fun competitions or games, get them to stand in a ring. So there's inherent training that's going on, but they're more playful, and they're usually 1 hour long. They're short little snippets. They're a little more informal, and we usually do them by the size of the animal. So it'll be small dog, medium-sized dog, and large dog, because you don't necessarily want them all in there together.
So it's good to call ahead to get a reservation for that, of course.
It is. Yeah. You can reserve online on our calendar of events. Everything is there, and you can reserve online to attend those play dates.
Sports Pooch Potty.
Part, yes, the potties.
Not potty, no, potty.
Yeah, potty. Yes.
Potty.
Nicely done, potty.
Yeah, okay.
And there's several different hours
sure,
on that Saturday.
Yes,
so depending
correct.
On maybe
the size of the dog.
Okay. And a
He's
small
quick.
Fee?
Yeah, I told you.
Small
not,
fee?
I believe that those are $10
okay.
per dog.
Okay.
And that means two humans can come. But
I will just say about the socialization thing, my daughter has a dog, and often I take it for walks around the neighborhood. And it's a very friendly dog with other dogs. Other dogs, bark like crazy, or they want to chase us or whatever. I wish more dogs were socialized. Although maybe somebody wants their dog as a guardian. Ooh, of course, that's a little dangerous to have a vicious dog in the house, even if you think it's well-trained. But nonetheless, I know that when my daughter's dog goes to a, what are they called now? It's more than a... it's like a doggy hotel when she goes up north.
A kennel?
Well, it's more than that because they have them outside. It's a domicile type thing.
So
it's not in cages.
That's cool.
And they actually have people, like at the shelter, volunteers that come in and they walk them and they interact and they play with them. And so they're right there with the other dogs too. And she always comes back exhausted, the dog. But just, really just in a great mood too because of that positive interaction with the other dogs. And again, that's a very controlled situation and well monitored, and it costs a little bit of money, but it's actually called something like a doggy resort or something.
Like a spa or something.
Yeah,
it's out in Farmington. There's one in Royal Oak, too, that my daughter knows of.
Wow.
And
there's one downtown. There are quite a few. They're nice, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so you don't want to turn City Hall into that, but
somebody might have a wallet and be interested. It would be a great thing to do.
Yeah. That would be radical. Get a grant to turn it into a shelter. Well, and then have all these dog and cat related events.
Well, then it would be Kitty Hall, wouldn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh,
I love it, Dennis. Thank you. Well, now there's Mudstrut, but there's also a way that the talking about money, you can't buy a City Hall with it, but there's a chance of getting some money from a national organization if people will just go on the website, go on the web and vote.
This is huge.
For the
yes.
Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. So explain that. Their voting period opened on the 5th and goes through the 16th of this month. Explain what that's all about.
This is a really great opportunity, as you point out, Jay, for someone to participate in helping out the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Really, all it's a couple clicks on the mouse and you're done. You don't have to engage and physically go to the shelter and volunteer a lot of time. And what's happening is the ASPCA, and it's the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty Against Animals, and Rachel Ray have partnered for a challenge, and they're going to be awarding $100,000 to a winning shelter. And then there's other incremental dollars that shelters can win along the way for various things, including community engagement and that sort of thing. And the Dearborn Animal Shelter is the only shelter in Metro Detroit in the hunt. And we're pretty excited about that. And it's been really nice because other sheltering organizations around us are helping, asking their constituents to vote for us as well.
I'm sorry to say, maybe I was just rushed for time. I went to your website, dearbornanimals.org. I clicked on the link to try to vote, and I got to the site. There was no place to click on voting.
They fixed it. Yesterday,
oh, okay.
ASP, the contest launched yesterday, and I think ASPCA got a little bit overwhelmed because people did an amazing job of getting out the vote.
Okay.
They have corrected the site, so thank you asking that, Jay.
I found your listing.
Sure, and the vote now wasn't up for about 45 minutes after starting. It is now live.
I will go back there, yes.
Please do, because what happens here is you have the opportunity. You simply go in. You just click on the big vote button on the upper left-hand corner of our website. It takes you right to the page page where you can vote. The first time you're there, you do have to give them your name and email address because they're trying to prevent people from double voting because it's a lot of money at stake.
Only one vote.
It's the right thing to
do. One vote per person. One vote per person, per email address, per day. Okay, wow.
So this is the key here because what happens is if we only did get 10,000 people to vote and we need at least 20,000 votes here to get into the hunt and get through this qualifying round. I'll explain where this is going after that, but we need at least 20,000 votes to get in through the qualifying round. We're competing with 117 other shelters across the country, and we need folks to come in and vote every day because if we only had 5,000 people and they voted all for 13 days, that's a whole lot of votes if somebody else only gets people to vote once. So once a day, every day, between now and April 16th, please go online and vote for the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
So once you go to dearbornanimals.org and you click on
the vote button.
The vote button. Bookmark that, folks. Make it easy.
Thank you.
Everybody goes on the internet, or at least I do anyway, every day at least to check a little bit of email. It only takes maybe 5 seconds once it's bookmarked to go back and vote for the next day.
Yes.
And just the first time you got to put in your email address.
And then they send you a confirmation email. You have to click on that. Then you're valid the whole way through from
then
on.
What a great way to try to help a local organization that's doing such a wonderful job with a lot of volunteer support, a few paid positions, of course, at the top, just like WHFR, myself, and two others are paid part-time here. And, news director doesn't get paid, Dennis.
Sorry, you're buying lunch.
Yeah, I know. That's really important to do, folks. And I think we can put it over the top for them. I noticed last year it was a pet shelter, a pet facility in Austin, Texas, one. And I just know because I visit there a lot. That's a big college town. They must have a lot of computers. Dell Computer is there, so all those people use their computers every day, and they just click every day voting.
We have to
compete with them, folks. So,
and one of the things we're doing just to help encourage people to get out the vote is we're running a contest on our Facebook page right now. So if you post what imaginative way you got other people to vote for us, you post it on our Facebook page, we're going to do a grand prize drawing, and it's going to be a fun, cool VIP gift basket from the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
Yeah,
so we're trying to make it playful, too.
Always.
Get people engaged. Tell everyone you know to vote.
Absolutely.
And how did you do it?
Now spread the word, you know.
One other thing, if I can share with you quickly, that's another exciting way to jump in. Speaking of our friends over at City Hall, we're going to borrow their steps on Tuesday night at 5:30. That's this Tuesday. So please come on out on April 10th, 5:30. We're going to do a flash mob. We're going to ask people to come on out and vote, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
The front of City Hall?
Front of City Hall.
Those big
City Hall steps.
Those
you
concrete
betcha.
Steps running out from Michigan
Avenue?
Before
anybody buys them out from underneath us, we're going to use those steps.
Schaefer and Michigan Avenue. What time?
5:30, Tuesday. Come
and
on
why?
Out. We are going to do a flash mob. It's sort of just an interest activity. It'll be a little playful. We're going to hand out 100 grand bars. Come on, vote for us. 100 grand. Get out the vote. Come
can
on.
You bring your pets?
You can bring dogs as long as they're good around other dogs and people. Please, we don't want any incidents.
That would be terrible.
So just dogs.
Right, for a shelter event.
No,
a dog riot.
Well, that's right. We've managed many large groups with dogs coming out. It's not a problem, but please be responsible.
Well, that sounds like fun. You guys are trying so many things. It's because
Absolutely.
Of the wonderful volunteers and the specialized knowledge that each of you have in your day from your day jobs and your academic background. It's just been wonderful talking to you. Of course, folks, we've got to tell you finally that, of course, everybody counts on this every year, I think, a great outdoor event. The Mutt Strut is May the 12th. Okay, that's
Fabulous
a month
day.
Away, and that will only be one day. It's a Mutt Strut and Pet Expo, so there's vendors and other things that you can see and learn about pets. Ford Field, 10 to 3, information on their website, again, as usual. You have to register if you're going
to
have a dog that you want to strut. You know, check that out. Circle it on your calendar, the 12th of May, not April. We're not there to the 12th yet, okay? Mutt Strut and Pet Expo. So great job, Sandy Bolton, helping the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, publicity, promotion.
Thank you,
Jay. Great talking to you again.
You as well. Thank you for having us here. And happy Good Friday, everyone.
Absolutely.
You too.
A weekend of being together with family and pets.
You bet.
And pets, too. Don't leave them at home, folks, starving, okay? All right. That's almost all the time we have in the journal. We're going to let Sandy get back to the dogs. Get on to the rest of her work. And remember, go to the website, dearbornanimals.org, and take advantage of the knowledge about those special training classes and, of course, the voting to get the money from this national organization. It should be possible, folks. We all get together and start voting once a day through the 16th. I also wanted to just sum up a couple stories in the Journal. It is WHFR Dearborn that you're listening to, a station making waves, WHFR.FM. I'm Jay Koronek, and this is the WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. A couple stories before our blues show. Highway 61 starts from 2 approximately till 6. And that is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, Representative George DeRaney has an editorial opinion. New policies in Michigan burden many Michigan residents. He was talking about that on our show on the 16th, but you should read what the Times Herald, what was published in the Times Herald last Wednesday on April 4th. A confusing article, but it's interesting, about city council authorizing a number of purchases. We do apparently spend $220,000 a year for jail space for short-term sentences with Wayne County Jail, and also almost $400,000 a year to send prisoners to Calhoun County. This has happened for several years, but $400,000, $395,000 for prisoner housing and transportation. And then you might have heard about 8 modern cabins are being built for Camp Dearborn, and that's going to cost for two different groups, comes to about $180,000, as they say, the next level of camping at Camp Dearborn. And what is the next level? Indoor plumbing. Oh, yeah, you're done plumbing. I don't know what they're going to cost. I haven't seen that. Maybe we can ask Mayor O'Reilly about that. But with only 8, you might need to get your reservations in early, folks. And I don't know if they accommodate like a family of 4 or 10 or 20 or what. But, you know, they're trying to make money on this. And as the naysayers say, oh, we just said sell Camp Dearborn. It's a drain. And, well, we really can't for a number of reasons that Mayor O'Reilly's gone over before. It can't get rezoned because whatever the city of Milford or whatever is in that area, they won't rezone it. They refuse to zone it as for commercial use or multiple residential property, you know, like condos or apartments or whatever. So if it can't be rezoned, it's just recreational area. It's a park, for gosh sake. So we can't, unfortunately, get rid of it unless somebody else wants to buy a park. It can't be a commercial business. It can't be a multi-unit residential area. So so they're trying cabins that you can rent with, imagine, indoor plumbing, the next level of camping. Now, next Friday, we're going to have some special guests from the HFCC production, Grease. That's a great rock and roll Broadway musical. It was made into a film with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. It's always exciting to see it on stage. It's just a lot of fun for the whole family. The reason I'm bringing it up now and why I'd like you to listen next week even, hopefully we'll have the director, Judy Fletcher, and also the music director, G. Kevin Dewey, here. The dance coordinator is Barbara Selinger, by the way, from Detroit Dance Collective. And so it's going to just a major effort here, and it's only going to happen 6 times. Next Friday evening at 8, next week Saturday, it's 13th, 14th, and then Sunday the 15th at 2. So it's a big deal, folks. They can only do it 6 times. And so I'd say plan on this. Circle your calendar next 2 weekends, not this weekend, but starting on the 13th and going through Sunday the 22nd. Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 2 p.m. Get the whole family there. Sure, it costs a few bucks more than a movie theater, but it's going to be so entertaining, so much fun. Singing, dancing, story plot, you know, good old rousing 1950s like it never was when I was there. But tell your friends and neighbors about this event, too. HFCC at the Adrey Auditorium at the Fine Arts Center, Henry Ford Community College, Grease, is going to be April 13th through 22nd. So put that on your calendars. Another story here, quick, in the Dearborn Press and Guide from this last Wednesday on the 4th, it's under discussion by our city council. Allen Park may be getting Dearborn to help it with fire protection, sharing fire protection. That's what it says. Not worked out yet. It's a question, but we're investigating whether or not our Dearborn fire department can give them some resources and assistance for a small fee, because apparently